Welcome to the Butts the Seats podcast, episode number 120.
What does that mean?
It means we have a hastily put together shot.
Because we forgot what number it was.
And then we remembered, then we ate dinner and went, we didn't pick anything. So, pick something just around the house, like, it's Bailey's s'mores flavor.
Y'all, if you can find these, delicious. Not sponsored by Bailey's, but yo, imagine.
The churro one's really good.
Oh, okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
God, it's so good.
Well, I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Hello.
Emily, how you doing this time? Hopefully a little better than last time.
A little. I don't know that I would say much, but some.
This episode is going to release the day after your 30th birthday. How's it feel being an old bitch?
My God. Don't say that. That means it's so soon. Oh my God. I'm going to be 30 in less than 10 days.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And it'll be the day before Thanksgiving.
See, that's great. Thanksgiving is the best holiday. Like, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, bar none. So that's great. You're welcome for this Thanksgiving episode of the Butts and the Seats podcast.
Were you thankful for this episode?
No.
No? I thought this was a good show.
It was so fine.
I think it was a good show relative to the other shows.
Babe, I watched it twice, and I'm not sure that I remember everything.
Well, today we're talking about a special Tuesday Nitro.
They only mentioned Tuesday once.
Well, you're already here.
I know, but they only mention in the whole broadcast that it is not on its normal night one time. Usually Tony Schiavone goes pretty deep into the, like, we're at a different time, folks, tell your friends. No, he said it one time.
Yeah, I guess there's the case for, hey, you know, we're on tonight, so remind your friends that are here. But
he was really pushing that when we were just an hour off. Now we're a whole day off, and he's like, yeah, fuck your friends.
Well, this Tuesday Nitro is the July 18th, 2000 Nitro, live from live. This show seemed occasionally pre-taped.
You think
but
so?
I can't find any evidence of that.
I didn't feel like it was pre-taped.
Some of the entrances, just like, the level of pre-taped it felt would have been so heavily edited audio-wise that I'm like, I guess it's not. But we're live from Auburn Hills, Michigan, which they kind of called Detroit at some point.
Yeah, they keep calling it the Motor City.
I did manage to find a little bit of a rating of this. I don't know if it's accurate or not, because it's not listed with all the other things. But from what I could find, this also just did like a 2.4. Like nothing.
Okay, so it, like, really was run-of-the-mill. Yeah. This really was just fine.
Yeah, but I think there was an element of like, hey, if we're not head-to-head, do we get a high? No.
Nope. You're still putting out a bad product.
Well, we're on week two of 5-week builds and new blood rising.
How's that new blood war going?
You know, it comes up a little bit during this show. We'll talk about it then.
Minorly.
I do have some backstage notes before our weather report.
Give me.
Apparently, SFX, who was going to buy WCW, is co-promoting the next ECW pay-per-view. So
they're not going to buy either company, though, right?
No.
This feels like you're leading us on.
Kid Romeo was apparently released for unprofessional conduct after he no-showed several house shows.
Who is Kid Romeo?
We saw him like once or twice.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, random cruiserweight jobber. Like, who are you to no-show these shows? Eric Bischoff is apparently telling people that Fox has agreed to like a 13-week commitment for whatever new wrestling show they're going to do with him and Hogan. And in Hulk Hogan news, just because it gets noted in The Observer, because he goes on Bubba the Love Sponge again, and it's just like, I wouldn't be surprised if Vince McMahon sent Russo to kill the company.
Jesus. Oh, the conspiracy theories start early, don't they?
Yes. But in the Hulk Hogan Bash to the Beach theory, this is where some of the numbers get like broken down of like, so he has dates remaining on his contract.
Yeah.
His pay-per-view cost per match is $675,000.
Okay, you started telling me about this. Yes, give me more.
Uncensored, this would have been, you know, back in like February-ish.
Okay.
It did the lowest buy rate in the company's history, and the amount WCW got for all their stuff was $644,000. So the show didn't even make enough to pay for Hulk Hogan, let alone all their other stuff. So when they go, yeah, Brad Siegel's like, don't call him, we can't afford to put him on the show. I'm like, yeah, there's the evidence of that, because he's also making $25,000 per Nitro appearance. Jesus. Or house show appearance, but
oh, both.
He ain't doing house shows
still. So are you kind of saying that with hindsight being 2020, you are starting to lean towards believing the Vince Russo story?
I feel like I was pretty clearly in his camp during Bash the Beach.
It was kind of like, I guess maybe, I don't know, because I was still so waffly. I don't know if I like fully leaned into your belief.
No, my thing was Hulk Hogan saw an opportunity to make money out of, well, they're not going to use me anymore, and took it. Mm-hmm. Especially with this Fox deal on the table.
That ended up being nothing. But
yeah. You, but he doesn't know that now.
Sure. Interesting. Hmm.
Additionally, remember how last week they were like, oh, we can't talk about it legally?
Yeah.
That's partially true, because portraying Hogan in a negative light would potentially go against his creative control.
Jesus. And you're telling me this man is friends with Donald Trump?
Yeah. It's funny seeing that, like, everyone thinks, oh, it's a work. He's totally coming back. And it's like, no, this is the one time that...
No, he's not.
And, I mean, we mentioned house shows with Hogan, but apparently after WWE completes their currently booked house show circuit, no more house shows.
Huh, that doesn't surprise me.
Now, next week, they are going to announce record sales for a tour of, like, Australia, I want to say. Oh. It was either UK or Australia, but we'll see if they change their tune on that or not.
Huh. I don't think I realized they went abroad.
Yeah, there's the random pseudo pay-per-view that I have not been able to find, like the Millennium Final or whatever the hell. But I'll keep you posted on any notes with that.
Okay. Please do. I'll be waiting.
Well, were you waiting for our weather report?
Oh, always, because there seems to be some thunder abound.
So this was not a great show.
Seeing as you didn't tell me anything about this thunder, I imagine that not much happened.
I did tell you one thing, because the commentary did not do well, but on this show, Lance Storm and Billy Kidman team up, despite the fact that Lance Storm clearly turned heel.
Yes.
And Storm attacks Kidman after they lose. I'm like, okay, yeah, so.
Cool.
Let's just formally split them up.
Good team up.
Kanyon just keeps hitting the diamond cutter on normal men.
On normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Jesus.
Yeah, but like just random people backstage, Kanyon cutter.
God, he's a menace to society.
We got maybe one of the dumber versions of the I throw you the weapon so you get DQ'd spot.
Okay.
So it's MIA versus the perfect event. MIA have the pin. Sean Stasiak hits the ref with a weapon and then throws it to Corporal Cajun. And the ref's like, oh, yes, you were totally trying to break up the pin that resulted in you winning the match.
Yeah, totally. DQ. For sure.
Rick Steiner beats down Booker and Stevie Ray until being scared off by Mike Awesome. Crowbar is crushing on Daphne.
Finally? I feel like that's already been happening, like, behind the scenes.
They put a little extra stamp on it.
Good.
They do Tori Wilson and Shane Douglas versus Daphne and Crowbar. And honestly, I think if I had showed you this before the Bitsies, you would have agreed. Like, the, oh yeah, Daphne counts as non-wrestler because they just kind of portray her as being on par with Tori Wilson, who they note is not a wrestler.
Okay. Valid, valid, valid.
Mike Tenay does a sit-down interview with Scott Steiner that results in Steiner losing it and choking out Mike Tenay after Tenay's like, do a troubled childhood.
Oh my God. Don't read me like that.
Because of the Kidman Storm breakup, they did a match. It was just fine. It got like no time. I'm like, oh damn, that was disappointing. Kanyon volunteers to show Judy Bagwell around. And,
Judy Bagwell.
And then back from commercial, she's in a neck brace being loaded into an ambulance. Oh, it's like, oh my God.
Judy Bagwell is one of the few things that I knew from Nick about WCW prior to watching WCW. I knew about Judy Bagwell and a forklift.
We're almost there, man.
That's all I knew.
Judy Bagwell appears in this show like a fucking jump scare.
Yes, she does. It was one of those like, oh fuck, that's Judy Bagwell. Oh no, oh no. But I feel like Judy Bagwell is one of those like horsemen of the apocalypse sort of people. Like yes. When she comes, you know it's over. You named, did you name Mark Madden or Scott Hudson one of those apocalypse people?
I'm gonna say Mark Madden, but it may have been Scott Hudson because I associate Scott Hudson more with the end times.
Maybe. But yeah, she was one of those people that was like, oh, I forgot about you until, fuck, you're here. Oh, no.
They actually did note that, like, oh, yeah, former tag team champion.
Former tag team champion?
Yes, because Rick Steiner named her co-champion after Kenny Chaos got written off. Very start of the podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
That said, yeah, this was not a good Thunder.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Do you want to get into this Nitro?
I guess we should.
Special Tuesday edition.
Tuesday.
We are recording this on a Monday, though. We did
it's
not get in the
Tuesday,
spirit.
It's Tuesday, isn't it?
We open with a Scott Steiner video package, just like, this man is a murderer, more or less. But, like, in the fun way, not a Jimmy Snuka way.
mostly just like the tirade that he's been going on recently, just like destroying people.
I did love the retcon of him attacking Ernest Miller at the pay-per-view. It was like, what a heel. And I'm like, he was still a face at that point.
Yeah, I think he was doing us all a favor.
We do see a clip of him choking out Mike Tenay on Thunder. And they're like, due to the graphic nature, we weren't allowed to show you the whole interview.
Yeah, I was like, what the, what? I was not sure what they were talking about because I didn't remember it, obviously. But I was like, why? What could be so graphic that we haven't already seen?
They also like seem to imply that he's suspended again, but he's not.
Scott Snyder?
Yeah. No. In here, they're like, oh, various suspensions. And like, but overall, this is a good package of like, oh, there's a killer on the loose.
There's a killer on the loose. No, seriously, it was. It was a good package. We don't get packages like this very often.
And we go right from that to Scott Steiner murdering Booker T's car.
Yeah, and this is also where we realize that Stevie Ray is on commentary for like a hot second.
Yeah.
Because they don't introduce commentary right away, but they cut to Scott Steiner destroying this car. And you just hear Stevie Ray's voice go, oh, that's my brother's car. He just bought himself that.
Well,
I'm like, oh, hi, Stevie, I guess.
He does flub his line on it because he starts saying he got him the car. And then he has to go, oh, no, he got it for himself.
Oh, my God.
That said, Mark Madden is also here. So it's a 3-man booth right now of Tony Schiavone, Stevie Ray, and Mark Madden. Rick Steiner shows up to get Scott to stop. It's like, you're doing this the wrong way, man. Come on.
So I think that there could be a good story to tell there with like Scott being on a fucking rampage and Rick being the one to like talk him off the ledge. I think there's a good story to be told there. They're not telling it. Even through the episode, they're not leaning into that.
I think I realized how much people didn't like Rick Steiner around this time.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone thinks he's pretty shit.
Oh, I disagree.
We then get the opening pyro, and a very rare sight, it's the Nitro Girls.
The Nitro Girls! I was so happy to see them, but unfortunately I was a little sad to know that we don't recognize like any of them.
Yeah, it was very Patrick Starr. Who are you people?
Literally, there was one girl that we recognized. Everybody else was new, which unfortunately means they're still casting these girls, and they fired a bunch.
And by the way, Stacy, who won the Nitro Girl contest, nowhere to be seen.
I don't think she's ever performed with the Nitro Girls. Since winning that contest. Oh, she wasn't on this episode at all, was she?
No. And also, we have the Nitro Girls.
No Spice.
Where's the beef?
Where's Spice? Oh, fucking, you're talking about actual beef, aren't you?
Yeah.
No. I want to see Spice. Spice. Beef.
Oh, no. Tag team, they should have done it.
Did Randy Savage call this?
Ernest the Cat Miller comes out to the ring with the Nitro Girls. And, like, Pyro goes off in the corners, which the cat seemingly forgot about, because, like, he's about to do his promo and, like, almost, like, jump scares him.
Yeah, he forgets that the Pyro was going to go off.
So Commissioner Cat says tonight there will be a U.S. title tournament. That'll be most of tonight. First round, we have Canyon versus Mike Awesome, Lance Storm versus Buff Bagwell, Vampiro versus the Great Muta, and the Franchise versus Kidman.
Your ass just got franchised.
I'm like, all these matches sound good on paper.
They actually do. And then I'm actually happy they did the whole rundown of the tournament. Like, they didn't just give us a bracket and be like, ah, memorize this. And 3 seconds later, cut away. They actually said them all. Because that just, like, give us something to know that we're getting into. Like, we're looking forward to all seven of these matches.
The Cat then says he has rules for the live crowd here. Don't talk too loud. Don't block the view for the other fans. And he's running through this. We see backstage, Scott Steiner just sees a monitor and smashes it. He's headed towards the ring, and his theme hits. The Nitro Girls fucking scatter. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, they don't need this smoke.
We get one security guard in the ring to stop Scott Steiner before he gets the Cat, and he immediately bails.
It was more like a kid on the playground of like, no, I can stand up to the bully. It was so cartoon is what it was. It was very like this happened in Rugrats.
Yeah, the fact that it was one lone security guard. I'm like, really?
Yeah, and it was not like a big dude either, but it was also not like a comically scrawny guy. I don't know. I feel like this guy was unscripted.
It was the same guy that was on the beach at Heatwave. It's a very normal man.
Aggressively normal.
We're just normal men. So Steiner chokes the Cat and wants a title shot. Booker T comes out to make the save. Rick Steiner comes in and the numbers game gets to Booker. Stevie Ray comes in from commentary to even the odds. He mostly gets worked over as Booker works over Rick Steiner. It's a weird duality here.
Duality of man.
Security comes in to separate everybody. The Cat comes back in the ring, calls Steiner a stupid bitch again. Why is this a theme that I love?
But calling Steiner a stupid bitch.
Right to his fucking face.
Because he's so big and veiny that, like, if you say it too many... It's like that balloon game in Mario Party. If you say it too many times, he's going to pop.
Well, the cat also goes, I'm not going to give you a Tyler shot. What I'm going to give you is my ass so you can kiss it.
Great line. Great line from the cat.
The cat then books Scott Steiner versus Goldberg. And Steiner is being held by like four security guards just screaming, you're going to die. I'm like, oh my God.
You're a dead man.
So we have a main event tonight. It is Scott Steiner versus Goldberg, which that's totally a heel versus heel matchup. We're totally keeping Goldberg a heel and not just quietly ignoring any semblance of that.
Babe. They finally realized that Goldberg was never meant to be a heel.
Close I come to that is I'm like, all right, he still has beef with Kevin Nash. Maybe he's a tweener, but...
No, he's a face. Stop.
I know the finish of that match, the pay-per-view, and I think I know that's going to be my worst bit.
Oh, God.
So I have that to look forward to.
Look forward?
But we go straight from that match being booked to cutting backstage, and they seemingly fuck up a camera cue, because it's Buff Bagwell and Judy Bagwell, but we just cut to a close-up of Judy Bagwell's face as they're like, kind of walking through backstage. Like,
yeah, as if
oh,
we're supposed
Judy's
to know
here.
Who this is yeah. without, like, this is one of those, if you didn't watch Thunder, you have no idea who this old woman is. Like, how am I supposed to know?
If you started watching Nitro in the last 18 months, you wouldn't know who this person
no.
is.
I need a lower third. I need an introduction. Something.
And also, in terms of weird cutting, this is more of a Peacock thing, but we just like cut to like a 2-second ad for The Sixth Sense on VHS.
Very quickly. Yeah. It's a sign of the times, I guess. I did not realize when The Sixth Sense came out. I have no semblance of time for when that actually came out. I thought that was an 80s movie.
I thought it was 99, so. Mm. I mean, I guess
it
this
came out on VHS or something.
Movies were on a more delayed kind of thing there, so.
Yeah, things took longer.
Back at commentary, Stevie Ray has rejoined the team as the three check in, and Tony notes the cat is now the ref for Goldberg versus Steiner in our main event. Stevie Ray gets asked about Scott Steiner, and almost immediately, we just see Jeff Jarrett just like very casually, non-sneakily sneak through the crowd, over the barricade, tap Stevie Ray and hit him over the head with a guitar.
I will give him credit. He does not tap Stevie Ray on the shoulder and be like, excuse me. He does like get in front of him, grab his arm and like swing him toward him.
Okay.
Yeah, I did watch that one back. But Stevie Ray should have had some sort of like situational awareness of something going on behind
him. He has
him.
No peripheral vision.
Nope, zero.
But he just, it's like, let me tell you about that sucker. Bam! Bam.
It was pretty great, actually.
It was great comedic timing.
Yeah, the timing was...
I don't think it was meant to be comedic timing, but it was fucking great. It was so
good. I don't know. There's just something about that guitar shot that like gets me every time. Especially when it's on commentary, like not used in a match. Like, oof, it's good.
Jared dons the headset after like trying to untangle it on Stevie for a little bit.
Stevie's legs are just sticking up in the air this whole time, too.
So he has the headset. He says that was a warning shot for Booker T. Does a nice hard sell for the pay-per-view. Like, hits the date. It's like, all right, you and me for the title. Now choke on that, Slapstein.
Slapstein.
Fucking lore building is this?
I don't know.
So, Jarrett then leaves, and Tony Schiavone just starts talking about the rest of the show. With Stevie Ray just like...
Legs up. Just like, yeah, it's fine.
Face down, ass up.
That's the way we liked what?
It's like laying there like groveling in pain. And it's like, well, I'm sure someone's going to come out here to help him. We have a show. And I'm like,
anyway, the
Tony,
show must
a,
go
a man
on.
Is dying.
Yeah, he's fine.
Like, they just don't even give him like a, hey, you all right?
No, not even. It's just like,
well,
he's there.
Well, fans, you've seen this.
Anyway, moving on.
It literally is that meme of, oh no.
Anyway. Literally.
So they talk the U.S. title tournament. And that brings us into our first match. It is Champagne Chris Canyon versus Mike Awesome.
Ooh.
Or sorry, I guess it's Positively Canyon.
Positively Canyon.
I saw a sign in the crowd that I never would have thought to spell it that way, but it just said Canyon Cutter, and Cutter was with a K, and I'm like, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, but what's new about Canyon in this entrance?
The wig is gone.
The wig is gone. He is fully committed. He's dyed his hair. Canyon is blonde. I kind of hate it. We'll see how brassy this blonde is in the coming weeks, because Lord knows he doesn't know anything about purple shampoo. He's not going to tone this.
I wonder if some of that was they weren't sure how quick DDP would be back, and like, all right, we're you can dye the hair. It'll be long enough now.
Yeah, we'll just commit.
But this is where I kind of noticed the, like, is this pre-tape? Because both men, their music hits with them already on the ramp. It's just like a weird thing.
Oh, I guess I didn't think about it like that.
But
maybe.
For that to be pre-taped, then you would have had to do all the crowd noise in post as well. Just like completely not done any authentic one.
Yeah. I can see an argument going both ways, but something tells me this was not pre-taped. This was just poor management of cameras. Poor direction.
He did note it last week, but this week, Mark Madden officially deems Mike Awesome the fat chick thriller. And now we have extras as well.
Yes, we have additional cast and we have a little tagline.
Oh, what's the tagline?
If you weigh a ton, Mike Awesome is the one. Something like that.
Okay. He also, during his entrance, he gets on the top rope and does a big circle of like, yeah, big fat asses. See, Scott Snyder makes sense.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like any of it. You can have a preference for larger one. That's fine. But don't bring it into your ring motioning. I don't know.
Well, you mentioned the extras. Yeah, there are just two women at ringside who are like, yeah, Mike Awesome. And they're a bit bigger.
They're bigger. They're not whales that you would think that they were based on commentary. Like, oh, they gained 40 pounds in the last 10 seconds. Like, Jesus Christ, man. They're large, but they're not like my 600 pound life. Like,
yeah, they were not in Viking attire.
Thankfully. These women can and do get in the ring. Spoilers.
You say that like oh, Tope Suicida.
No, I'm saying the Viking women couldn't get in the ring last time when they were dressed in the armor. They couldn't get in.
We didn't get Buff and Judy Bagwell coming out to the ring for, if you didn't watch Thunder, seemingly no reason. And they kind of explain that Kenyon hurt Judy Bagwell, but like not really.
They explain it in like a one-off passing line, like barely mention it.
Awesome quickly hits a diving back elbow and goes up top for his diving clothesline and a running splash. Kenyon hits a swing neckbreaker and a flapjack. But Awesome knocks Ken into the floor and hits a diving clothesline over the top rope. And I'm like, that's a cool spot. I'd love to see the whole shot and not just 98% of the shot with a little lens hood in the corner.
Let it go!
Fix your camera!
Did you mention that Judy Bagwell's on commentary?
I guess I didn't, because, yeah. Buff,
you would never know it.
Buff talks. Judy's just there. Weird moment. I don't know what the hell to make of this, that he's like, you doing all right, babe? Like, calling your mom babe just feels weird.
I feel like I've seen people do that. I feel like a term of endearment, not really a term of, like, sexy.
Maybe just a Southern thing.
Maybe. It's like hun, it's like sweetie.
Awesome then sets up a table at ringside, but gets low-blowed, and Kenyon hits a Kenyon cutter through the table.
Yes.
Commentary did raise a weird point of, they're like, why does he break this out if he knows he has at least two more matches after this if he keeps winning? And I'm like, because if he awesome bombs Kenyon through it, Kenyon will die and he will win easily.
Yes.
The match will be over.
Then he has more time to recover.
Kenyon celebrates, does not try to bring Awesome in the ring or anything. By the way, soft DQ for the table involvement, but whatever, man.
Fucking whatever.
I have a more egregious one coming up here in a second. Because Kenyon goes over to taunt Buff, and Buff goes to attack him after, like, how can you just stand there? It's like, you know what? You're right. And goes after him. Kenyon low blows Buff. So Judy Bagwell just comes in throwing hands.
Oh my God, she is throwing hands at Kenyon.
I don't know if this is meant to be just like a pushover or actually a Kenyon cutter and Judy can't bump, but she just topples. Buff comes back over, brawls with Kenyon. The ref fully sees this. Then they go in the ring. Ref also sees like all of this. Buff hits the blockbuster. Commentary's like, oh, well, referee's tending the Mike Awesome. I'm like, how? Also, then count him out.
Right.
Awesome tries for the pin, but Kenyon kicks out and then almost backslides Awesome. Awesome hits a German suplex and a running Awesome bomb and gets the pin on Kenyon.
Mike Awesome advances.
Moving around to Mike Awesome.
Woo!
Post-match, the two heavy women throw in some bloomers.
Okay, again, it's not the fucking 1800s. We're not wearing bloomers anymore.
I got deeply worried when I saw them throw them in.
Why?
Because I saw a red patch. And I'm like,
oh.
It was a little like flower on one of the legs.
Yeah, it was like a little bow or something.
But like in the pile, I'm like, oh my God, what fucking, what are you about to do? Like, oh, okay.
That would have been awful. I don't think that even like the most vile brain backstage would even think about that. Men don't think about women menstruating, so they wouldn't have thought about that.
I remember, funny thing is, it's post-Russo, and I really would have blamed him. They do the evening gown match of Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson, and they do fake blood and poop on the underwear.
Ew.
Yeah. Thank God for Crash Holly ending that match.
God.
Oh, yeah. He's not doing great in the year 2000 at this point.
Who's not?
Crash Holly.
Oh.
He apparently hit, like, strike three of somehow four, because he, like, passed out at some signing event.
Oh.
Yeah.
Crash.
Let's move on from that depressing note, but actually ask, thoughts on this match?
I have a feeling I'm going to hate the Buff and Judy bits moving forward.
Yeah. But, yeah, again, thoughts on the actual, like, in-ring content?
Oh, it was fine.
Yeah.
Mike Awesome has his shining moment this episode, and I feel like I'm not going to hate him as a wrestler by the end of this episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was very happy that they had Canyon kick out of the Blockbuster, because I'm like, if you're trying to put Mike Awesome over, him winning with like, oh, because Buff Bagwell hit his finish, that's why he wins. I'm like, no, I'm glad Awesome won with his own move.
Yeah, I agree.
I was actually visually like, oh, that kind of sucks. Oh, good, he kicked out. Okay.
Yeah, and you know I love Canyon, but I just don't know that I love him fully being in this DDP gimmick because he's not himself anymore.
The book's gone.
Yeah.
Let's go backstage. Pamela Pumpkins, which Mark Madden refers to her later as her legal...
Pamela Paulshock.
I would say her legal name. It's not her legal name, but as Pamela Paulshock, and it just sounded wrong to me. And I'm like, Emily has done it to me. She's here with a cutie, Lance Storm.
Lance Storm is having none of this flirting.
Wrestling is serious business. I'm from Calgary. I'm the best at this.
He's so hot.
Well, she starts that, and then by the end, she's like, can you believe this guy? I'm like, you're the one thirsting. Pick one.
Come on now, girl.
The one thing of, like, new intrigue he mentions is that if he wins the title, he claims it's going to be renamed the Canadian title.
Which valid. I mean, he's Canadian. Why would he have a United States title? He's Canadian.
Well, Brett did, but...
Yeah, fuck him.
Oh.
Obviously not as much of a Canadian as Lance Storm is.
We then go to the parking lot. Buff asks somebody, who we are later told is his brother.
Yes. Like, well, okay, come on. You can't see the familial resemblance? Yeah. They are the same person.
I was ready for Scott Steiner to come in because there's a 98 promo where he's yelling at Judy, got any more Bagwell sons I can take out? It's like, yes, yeah, there are. He's like, hey, can you like take our mom out of here? It's like, all right. And then we see elsewhere, Canyon and Smooth are conspiring.
Conspiring.
Yeah, I continue to be very wrong about like, oh yeah, Smooth's gone. Nope, he's not.
Yeah, he's going to disappear one day, but I just don't know why he's still here.
Oh, speaking of things I'm wrong about, I'm curious to see if you're going to chastise me for being wrong about in the last appearance later on. But our next match, it's Buff Bagwell versus Lance Storm. Despite just doing a promo, Storm comes out with a microphone. This was when I was like, I feel like he's going to win this tournament. The fact that you're double mic timing him to try to get him heel heat.
Oh.
But he blames the crowd for his heel turn. And, like, he raises some good points of, like, it's not my fault we have all these better, like, statistics in America.
It's not my fault we're higher educated. We've got lower crime rates. It's not my fault.
Don't blame Canada. Blame yourself.
Well, it's not wrong.
Storm wants the national anthem played and is immediately attacked by Buff, which prompts big USA chants. Buff hits a swinging neck breaker, but Storm hits a jawbreaker and walks into a back body drop. Buff hits a 10-punch spot, and the two trade chops and strikes. Buff hits his double-arm DDT and signals for the Blockbuster, and we suddenly cut to security footage. Nothing has happened yet. It's weird we're already cutting to this. Because we get Smooth going up to Buff's brother going, oh, Buff's in trouble, he really needs you. And he's like, I'll look after Judy. We cut away. Lance Storm locks in his rolling crab, which is apparently called the Canadian Maple Leaf.
I like that name. I think that's a great name.
Buff is clawing to the ropes, and they're like, yeah, you tapped out. Like, what?
Okay, I guess I thought that I missed something.
No, because we also hear Judy scream, and we're like, what happened?
Okay.
Like, it's fully cut away at this point. Like, weird production and everything issues. Because
we don't really see the end of this match. Really.
Commentary, I feel like if he had actually done this, it would have been good. Is like, yeah, I don't know that Buff had to quit. It seemed like he tapped out to get out of the hole to go and like inspect what's happening. But he doesn't even tap out. He's just crawling towards the ropes.
Yeah, which would have been a break.
I'll jump ahead a little bit just to explain what the fuck happened there. Because after the commercial break in a little bit, we see the footage. Canyon pulled Judy out of the car and then hit an off-screen canyon cutter.
Yeah, so once again,
And we get Buff and his brother just over their, like, deceased mother.
But she's fine. She's fine. She's still alive.
How else is she going to get up on that forklift?
Yeah, we haven't seen her on the forklift. The game's not over yet.
Admittedly, I have no clue if she appears after that. I'm realizing that. It's like we've talked about how, like, the last 6 months are just a dark period for everyone's memory.
That's true.
And, yeah, like, oh, I don't know if she's around or not.
I was going to ask you about Pops. Is he done?
I would assume so. I mean, I'm not sad about that.
No, I was just, he's one that, like, showed up and then vanished very quickly.
We go backstage. The cat flirts with one of the Nitro girls in a very, like, I can make you a star kind of way. And I'm like, ooh.
The power dynamic in this conversation is real nasty. He even, like, acknowledges, like, I have booking control and you're very
pretty. I can make you or I can break you.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh. Things that would not make it to television in 2024.
The Young Dragons music hits and she can't hear the music. Only he can because, of course. Spooky. So he sends her away. The Young Dragons attack. Stevie Ray comes in and he's like about to like murder them. And the cat's like, no, no, they're my friends.
We're just playing.
What?
What? Beg your finest pardon? We're friends? We're playing?
Yeah.
Also, this music is happening only in your head?
Huh? Yeah.
The fuck?
Stevie wants a match with Jeff Jarrett tonight. And then something about this felt very closeted, like, oh no, nobody else can know. I'll give you the match if you just let me play with my friends. I was like, that's just a weird...
Yeah.
If you, like, get out of here and let us finish. And I'm like...
Very weird sentence.
What is this?
Very weird thing to say.
So, the cat says Stevie Ray can have Jarrett right now. That match is not next. And then, after Stevie Ray leaves, the cat goes, okay, guys, let's finish. And they all hit kung fu poses.
And they cut away.
What the fuck is this relationship?
I don't know, and I'm starting to hate it.
Yeah. Starting?
Yeah. At first, it was kind of like a funny backstage thing that was just happening. Now it sucks.
Is this a work inside a work?
Yeah.
It raises more questions than I think it cares to answer.
Exactly. And, like, misusing talent. Like, why are we doing this to the Young Dragons? We know that these guys can actually work. Ugh, I don't like it.
Especially because we have seconds of them later, so why did we double up?
Yeah, and they're in the ring later.
This is where we get all the Canyon killing Judy Bagwell stuff. We didn't see Medeja finding Scott Steiner just sitting in a chair, waiting by a garage door. He tells her to leave because he's like, all right, I have this pipe. I'm going to wait for Goldberg to show up. And
I'm going to hit him with it.
Yeah.
The end.
Good. I mean, solid plan.
Yeah. Simple plan.
So our next match, the one that I by far had the most question marks next to, it is The Great Muta versus Vampiro.
Yeah, who's with Vampiro here, bud?
It's the ICP and the demon.
If you ask Mark Madden, who's with Vampiro?
Oh, what did he say?
ICB, five times.
Yeah, the Insane
Clown Posse. You're an ICB fan. Here they are.
They're back.
Why?
And Vampiro has face paint to match them.
Why?
Well, I actually have an answer to that one.
Okay.
It's legally distinct from the Misfits who were threatening to sue. Oh.
Wow. Good lord.
So yeah, Insane Clown Posse back. I actually did note that at the time. I just didn't know when that would be. I mean, like, we enjoyed them, so.
Yeah, they were fine. But why the fuck is Dale Torborg with them?
I don't know.
I don't want Dale Torborg here with them.
We do get a few clips of the Great Muta's history in WCW, and, like, they try to put over the fact that, like, he is a big deal.
And he is a big deal. But it also just raises the question of, why are you here? You're a big deal. Go anywhere else.
Match starts, Muta kicks Vampiro and then misses the ICP who are still in the ring. Vampiro comes back, hits a diving spin kick. Muta dodges a corkscrew leg drop, hits a flailing elbow. Muta then slows the action down, locks it in arm hold, and the whole middle bit of this match, it just seems like they don't know what to do.
Yeah, agreed.
Muta rakes the eyes, then gets in the face of the demon. Vampiro dodges a handspring elbow, hits a uranagi. Muta then dodges a spin kick, hits a dragon screw. And then Muta hits a Frankensteiner and a diving moonsault and wins.
Yeah.
Just
clean beats Vampiro.
He goes up the ramp and Vampiro then attacks the demon post-match for...
no good reason.
I guess just not getting involved at the right point or whatever. And he leaves the ICP, but Muta's like still close by. It was just a weird timing thing of... Yeah.
Yeah, this it feels like Dale has become just a punching bag. That's all he is now. Literally in this match, that's all he is.
Yeah, this was an awkward match.
It was weird.
It's one of those matches that I constantly question the language barrier of. I legitimately don't know how much English Muta speaks, and
I have a feeling that Vampiro speaks a little bit of Japanese.
Now, before I forget, can we just like give a brief mention to Vampiro's last match and the note we saw about it?
Oh, yes, let's.
So Vampiro had his last match in AAA within a week of us recording this, and it was a lights out match, which apparently AAA does like black lights for those matches.
So you're supposed to wear like glow-in-the-dark clothing.
Wait, but wait, glow-in-the-dark clothing implies that you go out and buy something special. If you wear a white fucking t-shirt under a black light, it's gonna glow. True. It's not difficult. And he just wore all fucking black.
So he's just a black mass blob in his final match.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I looked at the comment chain of that on Reddit. It's just people making fun of Vampiro for a different occurrence of him refusing to get involved in the match because they weren't playing the right song.
Oh my god.
And they just farted a bunch on commentary.
They what?
He just farted a bunch on commentary.
Oh my god. Like,
to where the mic was picking it up.
Oh my god.
Ugh.
What a child.
Yeah, if he'd done that in this match, it might have been something worth watching.
Hey, maybe. Yeah, this was not good.
And that's it for these guys this night. No Sting stuff tonight.
No Sting stuff. No further mention of ICP. Vampiro's done. Dale, that's all he has on the card tonight. That's it.
Oh, I don't think I noted. In Thunder, we got more not Sting masked. Like, it's just, it's the same shit.
Ugh. Well, we did get it announced. I don't remember if it's later in this episode or not.
It is.
Okay, so we did get it announced that at New Blood Rising, Sting will return.
Yes, and face Vampiro.
Yeah.
Backstage, Scott Steiner is waiting for Goldberg and attacks the first two people to come through the door. It's Norman Smiley and Ralphus.
Ah!
So, I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong.
It was very brief, but yeah. He was here.
Look, I'm more happy to do our final goodbye last week compared to this.
Fair.
It's like, yep, that's him, and he's gone.
And bye.
All right, our next match in the tournament, I'm going to read my note verbatim here. It's Shane Douglas with holy Jesus, Tori Wilson.
Oh, Tori.
She looks so good here.
She does. She looks fantastic.
Oh, he's facing Kidman.
Yeah, you need to keep talking, Nick. Yes, Tori looks great. Continue.
Well, Douglas has a mic and tells Billy Kidman, you have to take it easy on me. I'm pretty tired after fucking Tori all weekend.
He doesn't say that straight up.
He absolutely doesn't say fucking, but
we've
that
been
is
up all night.
Yeah, Douglas ponders which is worse, to never have Tori or to lose her to a franchise.
So, is he saying that a franchise is a bad thing?
I mean, basically, it's the question of, is it better to have loved and lost or never to have loved at all?
No, I understand what he was going for, but the way he said it made it sound like he's saying that a franchise is a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You lost her to a franchise.
And then, did you catch his new end of the promo line?
Oh, I don't remember it.
And that's a fact, jackass.
Nope. Guess I blew right past that one.
Like, sure. All right, bud.
I hope that doesn't stick. I hate that.
Well, then Tori grabs the mic and she goes, Kim and I had to fake it every night.
First of all, they were having sex every night?
Apparently.
Damn.
I played you for everything you had. How? You weren't married. You're not entitled
to
any of
stuff. Yeah, you didn't
get
anything out of it.
She's like, I got my ass franchised. I don't like that.
No, I don't either. Just like being the franchise and being franchised, it's not as cool as they think it is.
Also, I had to ask, was she reading cue cards?
No, she memorized something.
Because she is looking just like off camera the entire promo.
Oh, I didn't catch that. It really just felt like she memorized and she was not going off book.
Yeah, I don't know. Kidman comes out, and this is the first time I noticed that his entrance video opens with him botching a shooting star press.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's from Road Wild, and he overshoots it.
Well.
I forget who he hit, but you can just see his knees collide with the person's chest.
Well.
Kidman runs out to the ring, gets stomped out by Douglas. Douglas hits a front falling suplex and a reverse neck snap. Kidman sends Douglas to the floor and baseball slides him. Douglas runs Kidman crotch first into the ring post, and Douglas gets crotched going up top. Kidman hits a top rope Frankensteiner as Tori grabs a chair. Commentary did take note of something from the Scott Steiner interview. He's like, why you always call a Hurricanrana? It's a Frankensteiner.
I like that impression. Do more of that.
Kidman hits a head scissor and a drop kick. Tori then trips Kidman up into a Pittsburgh plunge. Kidman kicks out, and they do a spot where they bump Tori off the apron on a roll-up. But when Douglas kicks out, sending Kidman into the ropes, Tori is back up and hits a chair shot on Kidman.
Like, sure.
Normally, it's like women are glass, but...
Tori is stronger than glass. Tori is plexiglass.
Listen, this is why she has a fitness studio.
Hell yeah. No, the women actually like get involved tonight, and I kind of love it. I'm kind of here for it.
That said, Kidman kicks out of the chair shot. Like, they got me there. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah? I didn't think he was going to get got by a chair shot.
Well, just like that felt like it felt like a finish.
You're right. But I don't know.
Kidman counters a press slam with a sloppy bulldog. Kidman then hits his float over leg thing and then just turns around into a franchiser and gets pinned. So fairly clean win there for Shane Douglas. And I'm like, oh, you got me, Russo. I expected you to do heel face in the semifinals. You booked face, face, heel, heel.
Wow.
Wow.
Got him. It didn't feel like it, though. I stand by it. It didn't feel like it.
What?
The heel, heel, face, face?
Well, for round two.
It doesn't feel like it.
Overall, this is a pretty decent match, though.
It was fine, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like, Shane Douglas is kind of showing up. I don't know. All the wrestlers that I kind of hate, I don't hate tonight.
I know we're nearing these two's big match.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, they have a big match.
It's a pole match.
What's on it? Viagra?
Yep.
I knew it.
Yep, it's this story.
Oh, God. Wait, why do either of them need Viagra?
Well, apparently Billy has a small penis, can't get it up. I don't know. I know it's not next week, so maybe they'll explain more.
They're not going to.
I know it's before New Blood Rising.
Oh, my God.
Let's go backstage. Three count head towards the ring with a ladder, and we see Goldberg arriving in the parking lot.
Oh, that's not going to be good for him.
Like an hour late to the show.
You know, fuck it. He's here.
Well, back from commercial, we see Goldberg, like, actually arriving. And then he just has, like, a very casual chat with just two lads backstage.
So this guy looked really familiar.
I didn't know him.
Okay.
But, like, not a very heel thing to do. I'm just like, hey, random people, let's chat it up.
It's almost like he's not a heel.
We see Scott Steiner is just still waiting. In the ring, Tank Abbott introduces three count. So they come out of the ring with the ladder. And their gold record is already hanging in the middle of the ring.
So why are all of their ladder matches for their record?
Well, they didn't really announce this is a ladder match until it started.
Right. Well, you saw them with the ladder, so you kind of presumed. But, like, it shouldn't be with something on the line every time.
Well, last week wasn't a ladder match. They brought the ladder out to hang the record. So I figured, I'm like, are you getting it down? But why would it even be up?
Yeah.
And to add to that, commentary is like, hey, at New Blood Rising, it's going to be a ladder match of them versus the Young Dragons.
Yeah.
And the Young Dragons sneak in and everyone brawls and they're like, oh yeah, this is a ladder match too. I'm like, why? Tank Abbott joins commentary as we just kind of get some sloppy ladder action. Like, they're moving too fast here.
It just felt like they had a lot to do and they were cramming it into no time. But they wanted to do their dance. They wanted to do, like, the whole intro. They wanted to get the Young Dragons into, like, sneak it. Like, there was just so much happening, and, like, very little of it seemed to be wrestling.
We also get a lot of spots reliant on... They put a ladder across the top rope in the corner and do not balance it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's the crux of this match.
Oh, my God. That scared the crap out of me, because they really did not test... It felt like they were doing that on the fly, where they just, like, conceptualized it but never tested it. So they put that ladder up and, like, sprawling between the two corners... And I swear I was ready for that thing to flip and them to slip and break an ankle or a knee or something.
Well,
I was ready.
Jamison hits a fucking, like, superplex from the ladder. And then we get a few missed dives, including, like, Shane Helms goes for a dive. And I somehow managed to, like, clip the ladder on the way up and down, it seemed like.
Jeez.
Courageous does a helicopter spot with the ladder and takes out everybody, including his partners. Tank Abbott then is like, we're going to win. I'm going to go to my dance spot. And Courageous then tipped off the ladder. And I think Tank catches him too late, because it looks like Tank catches him as he lands right on his fucking feet.
Oh,
jeez. And immediately, Evan Courage is like grabbing the ankle, and I'm like, that's either good selling or you got fucked up.
I think he got fucked up
there,
a little bit.
Jamison then grabs the gold record, and the Young Dragons win. And I saw someone talking about this, like, I did not verify, this literally might be the quickest ladder match of all time.
Really?
I mean, it was three minutes, maybe?
Yeah. And so little of it was, like, actual ladder-based offense.
Yeah, it's rare to get a random ladder match on TV to begin with. In pay-per-view, you're going to give it more time,
yeah,
so...
that's true.
Yeah, unless there's one that's, like, you know, a symbolic match, someone just climbing the ladder and winning, I don't see a scenario in which you do a quicker ladder match than this.
Especially when there's six people in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. But this still continued on with the tank on commentary and like a stupid fanboy. I don't like this character for him. I think I've decided. I think there were a couple weeks there where I was like flip-flopping on whether or not I liked it. I don't like it.
Hopefully the ladder match at the pay-per-view actually gets some time. And
hopefully.
I mean, it's pay-per-view, so it should, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think in general, and I may have noted this before, but my main criticism for a lot of the matches between these two groups is they don't let the spots breathe.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it, because when you're only given 3 minutes, how are you going to let a spot breathe?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, with six people, you can't do a three-minute match.
Yeah.
Successfully, at least.
Especially not one where everyone needs to be taken out for someone to climb a ladder.
Right.
Like, you get knocked off the apron, quick three, whatever. But, like, incapacitated, that's a different thing.
I don't know.
No great mood with him this week.
Well, he was just in another match. He's busy.
Doesn't stop
everybody.
He's about
to be in another one.
Well, before that, we go backstage. Goldberg arrives to where Steiner is. And I'm like, I think the door gets shoot locked here.
Oh, really?
Because Steiner has to, like, casually tap the press bar open with his foot.
Okay, I was wondering, because this kind of feels like it gave his spot away.
I think that was, oh no, the door's locked.
Oh my God. I hope that's true.
It's the opposite of the Chris Jericho where the door is supposed to be locked and he just pulls it right open and is like, hey. So Goldberg dodges the first pipe shot and Steiner breaks the window part of the door.
Yeah, see, this is the thing where it's like Steiner gave his spot away just too early. Now Goldberg can be on the defense and like dodge, like bob and weave here. If he had actually gotten surprised by Steiner, he would have gotten some hits in.
The two just kind of brawl. Goldberg throws Steiner into the garage door and security comes in to break it up, but like kind of fails. So a bunch of wrestlers come in to break this up.
Yeah, like the whole locker room comes out.
I mean, I stand by it. They're making a great job of Scott Steiner look unstoppable.
It's true. And we got another shot of Rick trying to talk Scott down. Again, like the only person who can talk sense into him if they wanted to go that route with the storytelling.
Yeah, post-commercial, Steiner just flips out and swears a bunch. I think this is where Rick's like, this is not the way, man.
This is not the way.
So our first semifinals matchup in the U.S. title tournament, it's Mike Awesome versus the great Muta. Muta looks tired coming out.
You think so?
A little bit.
I felt like this match as a whole, like spoilers, this match as a whole seemed significantly better for both of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought this was a way better showing from both men.
Awesome catches a leapfrog and belly-to-belly is Muta. Muta hits strikes in the corner and then rolls under a clothesline and hits a dropkick. They brawl around ringside and over to the announce table. Awesome dodges a green mist and it hits Mark Madden.
Hell yeah.
Good.
Good. Fuck him.
That said, Mark Madden, like, not quite no-sells this, but almost no-sells it.
He, like, kind of slowly topples backwards.
And then he's back doing the rest of the commentary. He's like, oh, I was wearing sunglasses, so I'm fine.
Yeah, but he leaves after this to, like, go get himself in order.
Muta hits a missile dropkick in the ring, and then Muta hits a top rope Frankensteiner, but Awesome comes back with the clothesline, and another running Awesome bomb, and pins the great Muta.
That was a hell of a Frankensteiner, though, from Muta.
Yeah.
Like, that was a good move. But yeah, Awesome continues on again.
I don't think I was into this match as much as you were, because...
Really?
It's too quick.
It was very quick, yeah. But this was a much better showing of, like, skill. It was, like, a good wrestler versus a good wrestler for both of them.
I liked the Canyon match better.
You think so?
But I liked this better than the Vampiro match.
Yeah, I think that maybe this was better for me because it highlighted Muta more than it did in the Vampiro match. Like, you actually got to see Muta put some work in and not just faff around the ring with some fucking vampire guy.
But yeah, Mike Awesome going to the finals against the winner of our next match. But first, we have to go backstage. Smooth and Buff Bagwell are brawling. Canyon joins as we quickly cut away. Like, oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's like the last we see of Smooth, too.
We go backstage. Mark Madden is looking for help. He finds Kiwi. By the way, despite advertising him on Thunder, no.
No?
No.
We still have no backstory on Kiwi?
No.
Cool. But anyway, he goes to Kiwi to find somebody to help him with the stains in his shirt. And he walks up to Kiwi and is like, hey, you, can you help me with my shirt? Kiwi. And he's like, again, is taken by this man. And Kiwi just kind of like poses and is like, the Kiwi is too busy for this. And then Paisley comes out of nowhere and is like, oh, Kiwi, I ripped my skirt. Can you help me? The Kiwi is too busy. Some random security guard comes and grabs Paisley.
Babe, that's the artist.
No, it's not.
Yes, it was.
No, it's not. That was Taff Cappy. That was not Taff Cappy. I really thought that was just a random security guard.
You're already past him. Oh, shit. No, it's the artist.
Oh, shit. really thought that
his woman's flirting with Kiwi. He's pulling her away.
I thought Kiwi did like a move to get her away, and that was his personal security to get her out of there.
No, did you notice the woman behind Kiwi?
Yeah.
Who was like 25% boobs.
No, I did not notice that part.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Well, even Tony Schiavone's like, who was that woman?
I was focused on Kiwi.
I only noticed her at the end, but.
Oh, sure. Liar.
I don't, like, I'm like, is that one of the costume people or is this a random person you, like, hired or what? But, like, I was like, oh my God.
I mean, if she looked good, she looked good.
It was 25% boobs, but not in a great way.
I guess I'll have to go back and rewatch this segment for a third time because I was so convinced that that was not Tav Gaffey.
All right, let's move on to our last semifinals match. It's Lance Storm versus the franchise with Tori. Well, I guess as we're about to go to that match, we get a brief glimpse of Scott Steiner on a magazine cover. Then Tony Schiavone just shitting on production going, are we like going to this thing or not? What the fuck are we doing, guys?
Yeah, there we are.
Shane Douglas hits punches and vaults Storm to the floor. Storm pulls Douglas out and throws him around. Tori just jumps on Lance Storm. DQ. And
is that a, well, no, the ref wasn't looking.
No, this is outside. He's 100%. There's nowhere else to look here.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, that will come into play in a minute. Tori jumps on Storm. Douglas regains control, throwing Storm around the barricade and hits a pop-up low blow. Weird, interesting kind of move.
I did love the ECW chance during this. That did make me happy.
Douglas hits a diving crossbody as Tony accidentally calls Storm the new blood. And then it's like, well, not like that. you know, he's just new around here. New in town.
I am homeless.
I am Canadian.
I'm new in town.
I am serious. I don't approve of offbeat shenanigans. Douglas hits a neck snap, but Storm hits a dropkick. Douglas hits an atomic drop and clothesline before claiming Canada sucks. And I'm like, you're the heel. What are you doing? Douglas then hits two snap suplexes and a Falcon Arrow combo, which commentary was like, hey, Lance Storm's got to appreciate that. That was pretty impressive.
I mean, it was good wrestling. Again, this is kind of where I'm at with like all the men that I don't like to watch wrestle. Mike Awesome, Shane Douglas, Lance Storm. I'm actually kind of enjoying.
Jeff Jarrett.
No, I like watching Jeff Jarrett wrestle.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
I like his wrestling. Party like him. I'm enjoying watching these men wrestle. I usually fucking hate them, but I didn't hate this match. I thought this was kind of fun.
Douglas hits a power slam, and it's like, Lance Storm has not gotten, like, any offense in this match, it kind of feels like.
No?
It seemed weirdly put together. Like, not much. Then cut to Kidman sitting in a chair, like, at the top of the ramp, just eating popcorn.
Yeah, he was, like, straddling the chair, sitting backwards on it, just eating popcorn. He does a cute little wave down to the ring when the camera cuts to him. I loved that.
Lance Storm hits a knee breaker and a sidekick. Storm stops a Pittsburgh plunge, but runs into a belly to belly. And Tony Schiavone's like, Billy Kidman can't come down to the ring because of the no interference rule the cat has laid down.
What?
I'm like, oh, we're bringing that bullshit back?
I don't remember this at all.
Tori as the manager getting involved? That's fine.
I don't remember
Buff
any
Bagwell?
Of this. Yeah.
Yeah, don't mention that for Buff. Crazy.
Interesting. Wild.
Storm pokes Douglas in the eye and then locks in a half crab while using the ropes for the win. So, heel versus heel. The heel still cheats to beat the heel. Kidman runs down and attacks Douglas. He gets Tori in a headlock while, like, sitting down in a chair. I don't know what he was even remotely going to go for.
Yeah, I don't either. It was just, like, attacking the woman. I don't know.
Storm comes back, so Kidman drop kicks the chair into Storm. Lance Storm is going to the finals, but Billy Kidman stands tall.
I still love the shot of Billy up the top of the ramp. I don't know. I thought that was great. Hello, I'm here. Fuck you.
This reminds me of, there's a shot the night after the invasion ends on Raw that's like, you'll notice a chair next to Jim Ross. It just cuts to him. Ha, Vince.
Yes, I remember this. Ha, like, Vince.
this match was good. I mean, again, weird structure. I felt like it would have made way more sense. Also, considering they're kind of fucking feuding, have Kidman beat Shane Douglas, and then you have a face heel match in the semifinals.
Yeah.
Of Lance Storm and Kidman, who have issues, and then you have Douglas cost Kidman.
That is
storytelling 101, my guy.
They skipped that class.
No, swerve, heel, face.
Yeah, Vince Russo didn't take that class. He decided that he knew better.
Yeah, still no on-screen appearances of him yet.
That's okay. I haven't missed him yet.
Will you?
I don't know. We'll find out.
So we have our tournament final. It'll be Lance Storm versus Mike Awesome. But to give these men a breather, we have a match in between. We see Rick Steiner talking to Medeja backstage, and then Stevie Ray headed to the ring.
Ooh.
And he's headed to the ring for Stevie Ray versus Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, I feel like we've got to this really quickly. I don't know. This show had a really high, like, a faster pace, I thought. Like, I watched, like I said, I watched this show, this episode twice, and both times I was like, oh, damn, we're already, like, towards the end. Like, that was a quick tournament.
I mean, yeah, I think that's partially because, with few exceptions, there's nothing that we were sitting there watching going, ugh.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for that. Like, that's why I don't love a 15, 20-minute match, usually. I get it, I'm a hypocrite, whatever.
For more on that, listen to our Patreon review of Evolution.
Hey, shut up. But there's something to be said about quick, fast-paced matches really keeping the pacing up. Especially in a tournament like this, you need them to be short and fast-paced. They need to keep going.
I think it helped that they picked people who could wrestle more than one match.
Yeah, that too.
And it's not, all right, here's the Junkyard Dog going to go three matches deep in tournament or whatever.
No. Oh my God, what was that, WrestleMania 4?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I think he's only in round one of that one, but still.
That was the worst WrestleMania.
So far. I think it's as Jeff Jarrett comes to the ring for his match, Tony Schiavone notes that, like, all right, we have a few matches set for New Blood Rising. They hit Jeff Jarrett, Booker T again. It's like, kind of assumed that one was set, but sure.
Yeah.
But we also have Sting versus Vampiro, Shane Douglas versus Kidman, and then a four-way tag match of Chronic, The Perfect Event, MIA, and Jindrak and O'Hare.
I forgot Jindrak and O'Hare were here.
Yeah. Depending on how that goes, that might be fun or might be a mess.
We'll see. Can't wait to find out.
Stevie rushes the ring, hits a bicycle kick and a power slam. Stevie keeps dominating Jarrett and throws him onto the announce table and then just, like, chokes him. Jarrett hits punches in the ring until Stevie hits a spine buster and Rick Steiner runs out. Steiner distracts the ref as Stevie Ray hits his shit pedigree. Do you remember the name of this?
No.
The slapjack.
Oh, yeah, that rings a very vague bell. I was mostly focused because on Medeja at this moment.
He also had a slapjack weapon. That's why I was always confusing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Medeja goes up to the top rope and dives onto Stevie Ray.
Oh, my God, I loved this. I loved this for her.
Dives into the back of the head of Stevie Ray.
Yeah, she, like, kind of puts her arms around his neck and is just, like, trying to pull him down after diving on top of him. I love her.
Jarrett hits the stroke, gets the win as we get a massive banner for onewrestling.com going across the back.
And they cut away from that pretty quickly.
I looked. I think it's a dead link now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Post-match, Rick Steiner and Jarrett beat down Stevie until Booker makes the save because that's pay-per-view match. We got to do that.
Talk about a quick match, though.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Talk about needing a match to breathe.
I wrote pointless match. But did note the weird, like, lack of anything substantially Booker on this show. He just feels adjacent here.
In this episode, yes. I feel that. But this was just, like, so quick. It didn't make either man look good. It didn't put either man over. Like, I feel like they're trying to do more with Stevie Ray because Booker T is a champion, and it's just not working.
Well, I've never seen Stevie as, like, a big main event talent, and the fact that he was kicking Jarrett's ass for most of this, I'm like, kind of just brought Jarrett down.
Yeah, that's valid.
They don't seem interested in that title match.
No. Are you interested in that title match?
No, but it feels like they're trying hard because they know they don't care.
Yeah, they have to really put in the work to give a fuck.
We see backstage, Scott Steiner is still flipping out, and then the contrast, Goldberg is quietly stretching. And then we get our U.S. title tournament final. It is Mike Awesome, the Fat Chick Thriller, versus Lance Storm.
See, stop with that gimmick, and this is a really good match.
I mean, the gimmick doesn't come up in the bell to bell.
No, correct, but it's in the pre-bell and the post-bell.
I cannot prepare you for how bad his next gimmick is.
Oh, God.
It happens in, like, 3 months.
We have another gimmick?
Yeah. Oh, he has at least two more.
Jesus.
Mild spoilers for the lesser of the two. He will become Canadian somehow.
Sure.
The man from Tampa.
He's going to hang out with Lance Storm or something, I bet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to team up.
We have some time before that, though.
I can see them being a good team. Like, this is a good match. I can see them having some in-ring chemistry.
I think they team up early days of the invasion.
Okay. I don't remember Mike Awesome from the invasion at all.
Yeah. Yeah. He wins the first WWF title as an invader.
Wow.
It's the hardcore title.
Yikes.
Well, you know, ECW.
Sure.
I don't think they even mentioned he was an ECW.
They're just like, you're here. You must be hardcore. Go for it.
Lance Storm comes out with a mic again. He gives the crowd one last chance to hop on the bandwagon and calls for the Canadian national anthem. Mike Awesome comes out and says, "Turn that shit off." I'm like, oh.
It was good. Like, as soon as he interrupts, too, like, Lance Storm wastes no time. Like, the second he starts saying turn, Lance is up the ramp, ready to get him.
They start brawling on the ramp, and Awesome drops Storm on the barricade and whips him between the two sides of the ramp. Awesome hits Storm with a chair in front of his fans, and Storm hits Awesome with the chair twice, and then leg drops Awesome's head on the chair. Storm chops Awesome, but it just fires him up until a poke to the eye. Awesome hits a massive sit-out powerbomb. Like, good God, man. Awesome then splashes Storm in the corner and goes up top for a diving splash, but Storm gets his knees up. Storm goes for a tornado DDT, but, like, I guess Awesome counters? It's a weird spot here. I don't know what they were going for, because Awesome, like, gets his leg tripped up in the ropes, and...
Yeah, I guess
Storm
a little
bit. Storm sells like it got countered, so...
He's hard also to just say. A consummate professional and probably just ran with it on the fly.
Awesome then goes up top for a top rope Awesome bomb.
Woof.
But Storm counters, hits a superplex. Awesome catches a springboard, hits a belly to belly. He then goes for the Awesome bomb, but Storm counters and rolls through it for the Canadian Maple Leaf, and Awesome taps out.
Yeah, I was honestly shocked that this was a tap out.
New Canadian champion, Lance Storm.
I really did not think that Lance Storm was going to win this. This got me. I thought this was going to Mike Awesome.
Post-match, the two large ladies console Mike Awesome. He feigns being more hurt, so they help him more.
It's kind of cute.
This was a good match.
Yeah,
I
like
this one a lot.
Me too.
I think I like this better than the Canyon match.
Good, because it is better.
Yeah, it just less fuckery going on.
Yeah.
And good use of the tournament to get a new guy over.
Yes. I think that's why I was so like set on it being Mike Awesome, because there's no way they're going to give the championship to a new guy. But I was wrong.
It's funny. You mentioned WrestleMania 4 before. That's like the one saving grace of that show, is that it gets somebody new over.
True.
Imagine Hogan just wins.
No, every like, other WrestleMania.
Yeah. No, but just like, yeah, he just steamrolls everybody, wins, and it's over. It's like, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
This, I believed both men could win, and it's like, yeah, you brought in Lance Storm and immediately are putting a title on him.
I mean, good, like, as they should.
That's what they have to do, is build new stars. I mean, look at who are the current champions. It's
Booker.
Is it Chronic or Perfect Event who are tag champions?
I don't know. I think it's Perfect Event.
Yeah. I think the title match on Thunder. No, it is in fact Chronic.
God damn it.
But, I mean, look, new-ish guys, it's not Hall and Nash. But yeah, the champions right now are Booker T, Lance Storm, Chronic, and Chavo Guerrero.
Oh, Chavo's a champion right now?
Cruiserweight title.
Oh, wow. I forgot.
So, yeah, it's not the same old, same old.
Would you say it's new blood?
Well, you know, it's like, he's new here.
Yeah, why are they backpedaling on that? That's like the whole point.
Yeah. They're distancing themselves from new blood right before New Blood Rising.
Yeah, why?
Well, you can't have R&B security anymore.
Oh, shit, you're right, because that was Russo and Bischoff security.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't think about that either.
All right, who can they promote up that has a B in their name?
Bagwell.
Oh, Christ. Who else? Anybody. The contract does say Bagwell, but it reads Judy Bagwell. Oh, Jesus Christ. Fucking Booker T also would have been a B.
Booker, yeah.
Well... Speaking of Booker, backstage, the Cat knocks on Booker's dressing room. It's like, all right, let's talk before this match. Like, oh.
Okay, sure. This seemed shady. And it was shady.
Kinda.
But I think so.
Time for the main event. It is Goldberg versus Scott Steiner with 5 minutes left.
Yeah, well, it was 6 minutes when they started their entrances. By the time the bell rang, it was 5 minutes.
Yeah, Goldberg does not get any sort of walk through the back. It's like, nope, he's here.
We are running out of time. Special, we got shit to do.
Yeah, special ref, the Cat, he comes out first. And then Booker comes out, who joins commentary. And then Scott Steiner comes out. And someone tweet in if we're wrong about this. Scott Steiner comes out wearing the chainmail. I cannot remember him coming out in the chainmail during our run. And I went back a bit. I did YouTube searches, admittedly. I didn't go through each Peacock thing. Trying to find entrances and segments with him prior to this time. None of them have it. Everything I'm seeing with him with the chainmail is after this point or in a different company.
I really think we've seen him with the chainmail before.
I don't know. It felt weird to see. It felt new.
Familiar. but I think it's because we've seen him. How much we watched, yeah.
So if anybody can recall him using it before this, you know, let us know. I will not accept Wikipedia going, oh, you know, he started wearing sunglasses and chainmail.
Yeah.
They list that in like 98. I'm like, well, when did he start wearing the chainmail?
Yeah, he's wearing sunglasses, sure.
Goldberg gets a face reaction and Goldberg chants when he comes out. Bell rings. We got 5 minutes left. Steiner overpowers Goldberg to start and drops the flexing elbow. I think Goldberg got a little mad about that because he hits one of the stiffest forearms in the back I've seen.
Ugh.
And then hits a butterfly suplex. Goldberg stops short of crashing into the corner, but gets T-boned by Steiner. Goldberg hits a big shoulder block and then knocks Steiner down, and then he hits his big press power slam. Steiner gets the boot up in the corner and hits a spinning belly-to-belly, and he goes for the Steiner recliner, but special ref the cat, I think, tells him that move is banned. You can't do that.
Oh, is that what he was saying?
That's my guess.
I thought that the Steiner recliner was locked in and the cat would not call it and say that Goldberg was passed out. Because he kind of was.
Yeah, commentary does not do a good job of telling us what's happening here. Because, like, they've not officially unbanned that move. I've not heard them say that.
Yeah,
so
fair.
The move was banned as of 8 days ago.
Yeah.
And he has not won a match since then. So
yeah.
That said, Scott Steiner knocks out Ernest Miller. So Booker T goes to check on him. Steiner begs Booker to get in the ring. Booker obliges, and the two brawl. Booker then jumps over an incoming Goldberg spear, which hits Scott Steiner. Professional that he is, Booker got his leg clipped a little bit and is like slapping the leg to like sell it.
Oh.
And I'm like, good on you.
Okay, I'll take that.
Booker hits a Harlem sidekick. Then we hear the Wolfpack music hitting.
What?
Kevin Nash is back. It's been 8 days. And he's not alone, Emily. He doesn't have Scott Hall.
But he's got a beer.
He's got a beer. Comes out drinking the beer, puts it on the ring steps, goes in, jackknives Goldberg after flipping the double bird, then jackknives Steiner, and just kind of gives Booker a look, goes to ringside, grabs his beer, toasts the crowd, and we're out of time.
It was very, I've been hanging out with Steve Austin.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Honestly, this might be the coolest I've seen Kevin Nash actually be in this podcast.
I'm wondering if like they just kind of gave him freedom to do whatever the hell he wants, and that's what he came up with.
Yeah, just like,
because like we talk about this, like we like the idea of Kevin Nash as a person. Like we agree with him on a lot of his stuff, like outside of wrestling. You know, he likes wine and lasagna. You know, who doesn't?
Chicken parm, please.
Oh, sorry, chicken parm. You're right.
He's not Garfield.
He's an Italian food man.
He hates fucking Mondays.
He wants to, you know, come get his money and go home. Who doesn't want to do that? He's very real. I hate him as a wrestler. I hate him as a person in the ring. But as outside, yeah, he's fine.
I thought, as simple as this was, this is actually how you make somebody look nonchalant but still give a shit.
Yeah,
valid. That's the problem, is that he's just seemed so apathetic lately.
Especially how we're watching him in TNA. Talk about apathy.
Oof.
Oh, my God.
This match and segment I enjoyed. I think the two guys in the ring, look, they did things in their 5 minutes. They weren't just like,
from corner to corner. Slow. But they did it. It was a big guy match. They weren't like high flying and doing big pin roll ups. Like it was big boy.
Yeah, but that can be fun. I was into it, but
oh yeah, I know. I mean, it was short enough that I wasn't like dreading it.
It does continue to, and I'm hoping this is just a 1 week thing. That Booker just feels like a side character. This show felt like we found a cool new toy named Scott Steiner.
It did kind of feel like that, didn't it?
I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah.
Because I know one of these men holds the title for several months before the end of WCW.
How are there several months left?
until March.
How?
But I think this was a pretty good show. I mean,
it was good, yeah.
Yeah. Like we joke, the grading curve. But yeah, there was nothing on this show that made me go, holy shit, all right, we got to come back to this at a later date.
Yeah, that's true.
Like both those watches in two sittings just because of timing reasons, not content.
Yeah.
And you got some people over, had some decent matches, set up stuff for the pay-per-view.
We have watched significantly worse recently. So, yeah. Like, I'm not mad about this. It was just, like, it felt like a filler, but, like, in a good way.
Yeah, for show 2 of 5 to build a pay-per-view, you could do a lot worse for a quote-unquote filler episode.
Absolutely. Agreed.
But let's move into our closing segment of best bit, worst bit, and MVP. Emily, what'd you come up with for your best bit?
So, I was going to give it to that initial guitar hit. the Jeff Jarrett hitting.
It's an honorable mention, but I think for the wrong reasons.
It's an honorable mention, just because it came out of nowhere, kind of. It was fun. It was a good way to start the show. But I ended up giving it to Lance Storm versus Mike Awesome. That was just a really good match, and it made me kind of care about two wrestlers that I don't like.
Yeah, I think it was a great culmination of the tournament. And
yeah, for sure.
It felt like two guys were actually, like, wanted the belt. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, cool.
Emily, what is your worst bit?
I actually had a harder time finding a worst bit.
I did, too.
In talking through stuff, there were some matches that I think that we could have given it to. I gave mine to a segment.
Okay, I'm wondering, are we going to triple agree?
Oh, God. I gave mine to the Cat and the Young Dragons.
Yeah, I really? Did too. It just raised too many questions.
Like, it was so stupid. It was like undercutting everything we've been doing and also undercutting the talent that the Young Dragons have. Like, can I play with my friends? Like, fuck you, Cat.
Yeah. All right. Can we complete the trifecta?
I don't think so.
Who is your MVP?
I think I know who you picked, and I think I intentionally picked the other one.
Oh, okay. You get a 50-50 shot.
Well, now I'm thinking that you picked the same one. Oh, God.
No, this isn't allowed. You have to pick.
I picked Lance Storm.
I also picked Lance Storm.
I really thought you were going to go with Mike Awesome because you love him.
No, I was more pleased with the three Lance Storm matches, especially considering, I think, less of his first two rounds, and he pulled good matches out of them.
Fair.
And he cut solid promos. He actually did character work on the show. So
I think Mike Awesome did character work. It's not good character, but it's character work.
But that's going to do it for this special Tuesday Nitro.
Tuesday.
We're back to Mondays. They didn't even bother to note it. They're like, yeah.
No, they really didn't. Like I said, they only mentioned it was Tuesday one time, and they're just like, yeah, fuck it. You'll figure it out.
We're on the road to New Blood Rising, which won't actually come out until 2025.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because we've got enough Nitros, and
damn,
it's almost December anyway.
It is almost December. It's almost my birthday. It's almost the end of the year. It's almost the holidays. Wow, where did this year go?
Well, you can listen to some previous holiday episodes on our back catalog, everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud. You can follow us on social media, at Butts in the Pod, pretty much everywhere, including Blue Sky.
There were actually Butts in the Seats.
Oh, yes. I did not know.
We are Butts in the Seats on Blue Sky. We're trying it out.
And we are the Butts in the Seats podcast on Facebook. And we mentioned it very briefly during the show. Patreon.com/Butts in the Seats. $5 a month gets you over 20 bonus episodes. We just did WWE Evolution to escape and applaud women a little bit.
Cleanse the palate of the last couple of weeks of being an American.
And don't worry, right after that we're going to conspiracy theories, because I had to decide whether or not to do it on January 6th, right after the inauguration, or, okay, let's just shift some stuff and do it before.
Yeah, it's probably a better idea.
And then after that is our continuation of the new Monday Night Wars. We'll be hitting Lockdown 2010.
Lockdown.
Emily, any closing thoughts before we get out of here? It's your final recording as somebody who's not 30.
Woo! 30s! 30, flirty, and thriving. I'm thriving.
But until we hit Judy Bagwell on a forklift and Viagra on a pole, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And God help us until the next episode of the Butts and Seats podcast.
Bye.